A beautiful Sunday it is.
Actually, I love this weather. I love a chill in the air. I love rain's good. I mean, we need rain, but just the chill, the briskness that we haven't felt in a while, at least the past 2 or 3 weeks in the weather. But fall's probably my favorite time of year. And it's not because of the different drinks that come from Starbucks that come with fall. Although I will say, I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but I love just black coffee, just nothing in it, no cream, no sugar. I used to like cream and sugar, but I eventually got to where I like just black coffee. But I will say, kind of a guilty pleasure in the fall at Starbucks, I'm almost embarrassed to tell you what I drink from Starbucks, but I'll go ahead and tell you, it's a salted caramel mocha. But it's not just a salted caramel mocha. I get an almond milk instead of regular milk. I get half the pumps of sugar, you know, so I don't, because it's really too sugary for me. But I get extra salt, and I keep the whipped cream on there. And I get an extra shot of espresso, so it tastes like coffee a little bit. But so I almost feel embarrassed. I almost feel like I should apologize for telling you that kind of drink that I drink. But I don't know, I just love coffee, but I love this time of year. I love pumpkins, and I love the time of year. I love just the time of Thanksgiving and Christmas and just that expectation and the hope that we have. I was telling my wife, Katie, just the other day, I said, I don't know about anyone else, but I feel that, at least to me personally, Christmas is going to maybe feel a little bit different this year in a good way. I think, to me, it'll have more significance as we long and hope for, as we celebrate the birth of a Savior who broke into the world to bring light into darkness, to be a light to the Gentiles, as Simeon referred to as Jesus. As we celebrate Him this time of year, just with the year that we've had in 2020, what a special time Christmas will be, I think, hopefully. And if you've noticed, Christmas time, it's interesting. It's a time where there's so many times where the message of the gospel is spoken in a Walmart, Target, Belk, wherever, whatever stores we go to and shop at, grocery stores, because Christmas carols are playing almost nonstop during the Christmas season. I mean, it's nothing to be walking down the aisles of a grocery store and hear "Joy to the World." And you hear the lyrics of that "Joy to the World." The Savior reigns, speaking about the advent, the first advent of the Christ. I encourage you, if you haven't listened to those songs as you've been in stores before, maybe you have, but if you haven't, listen more closely as you hear those songs and hear the gospel proclaimed. Where it might be you shop, maybe it's a Lowe's, maybe some other place. But the title of this series that I'm beginning this morning and will be in for the next several weeks is called Holy Call, Holy Living, Studies in 1 Peter. So we just want to walk through 1 Peter together. As I was praying about where God would want me to go, my first sermon series as your pastor, which still sounds, I mean, all kinds of different emotions come to me when I say that, just the amount of weight, privilege and honor it is to just be able to say that to you this morning. But we're going to be looking at 1 Peter, and the title of the message this morning is "The Grace and Peace Multiplied to You." We're going to be looking at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. And if it's awesome that we just sang about Jesus Christ, our living hope, and what Christ does, and the chains that He breaks, and the hope that He brings, and the peace that He brings, and the grace that Jesus brings to each and every one of us who call on His name. And one of the main themes of 1 Peter is hope. We need hope. We need hope. Colossians 1:27, I mentioned it in my prayer earlier. Colossians 1:27, Paul writes to the church at Colossae, he says, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." The hope. One of my favorite movie series of all times, and I know I'm going to get an amen from at least Alan Shaver's Star Wars. Amen. Anybody else a Star Wars fan? I love Star Wars. All right. In fact, I love Star Wars so much, we have a dog. Hopefully, y'all can meet our dogs, especially before one of them passes. I mean, she's doing good, but she's almost 14. Her name's Leia. I love Star Wars. I mean, I don't get into it so much that, you know, I dress up and go to, like, conventions or anything like that, but I love Star Wars. I love the major themes of Star Wars, but the very first Star Wars movie that came out, maybe some of you remember, it's actually titled Episode 4, which was titled retroactively after it came out at some time, after Star Wars did pretty good, George Lucas decided to do some more, and anyway, it's titled Episode 4, but it's the first one that came out in 1977, but the title of that movie is A New Hope. In the time of that, the series, where it's taking place, the galaxy had grown dark. Evil reigned. The chosen one who was supposed to bring balance in the movie had fallen himself and turned to evil. Pure evil. But a son was born, bringing new hope. But even more glorious than a movie, in reality, Jesus was born and brought hope. And as Simeon said in Luke, he brought light to the Gentiles. Hope is one of the main themes of 1 Peter. In fact, one of the titles of my section in my Bible, the title of this section is A Living Hope. And if you have your Word with you, if you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to start reading in 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read through verse 12, but if you would, follow along with me. And I have, if you did not bring a copy of God's Word, I encourage you to read along with me on the screens in front of you. But I encourage you, if you did bring God's Word, read along with you. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those chosen living as exiles, dispersed abroad in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient and to be sprinkled with the blood of Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You are being guarded by God's power through faith for salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. You rejoice in this, even though now for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which, though perishable, is refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though not seeing Him now, you believe in Him, and you rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy. Verse 9, because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that would come to you searched and carefully investigated. They inquired into what time or what circumstances the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating when He testified in advance to the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. These things have now been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Angels long to catch a glimpse of these things. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your many blessings, and we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the beauty of your creation. We thank you for the songs of your people. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who gives us a salvation that will never go away, never diminish, never lose its power in us. And Father, in that truth, may we have hope. Even though times may seem dark, whether we've just walked out of dark times or are walking in dark times or will walk through dark times soon, may we never lose sight of our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. May we always keep our eyes fixed upon Him. May You speak through Your Word to us this morning. May we listen. May we open up our ears and hearts and minds to Your Word. May we shut out all distractions. And Father, may You speak through me. May Your Holy Spirit bind our hearts together as one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a series on TV that I never had seen before. Actually, I don't know if you've ever heard the phrase cutting the cord. We try to cut the cord sometimes. So some of the things we did, we streamed a few movies and things like that. But for the most part, we hadn't had a cable. But I love Major League Baseball. I don't know if any of you do like baseball, but that's probably my favorite sport that I love to watch. And I don't know if this is okay or not, but I love the Braves, the Atlanta Braves. So I was talking to some earlier that, you know, TBS was all over the Superstation. And it seemed like after every Braves game, a Charles Bronson movie came on. Does anybody remember that? Okay, just me. Okay. But I just remember Charles Bronson movies coming on after pretty much every Braves game at night. That was always the hook at the end, I guess, to stay on. But when the Braves reached the playoffs, they weren't on Major League TV that we were streaming. So I bit the bullet and I bought YouTube TV. I don't know if any of you have ever bought YouTube TV, so we could watch some of the channels that the games were coming on. So we hadn't really watched cable access TV in probably 6 or 7 months, probably close to it. And we didn't really watch a lot of TV before. But there was a commercial that came on. It was an advertisement. It was a show entitled The Unadventurers. It was an interesting show where the host, it's powered by Hyundai, so he's driving a Hyundai. And he takes people who had never traveled outside of their state across state lines to other states. It's a really interesting concept for a show. The first guy that he was going to take across was a guy and his wife, and they were in their early 30s, late 20s. He was born and raised in Ohio, and the husband was 30 years old, and his wife was a few years younger. Never crossed state lines of Ohio. So in a couple of days, they went on this adventure. And they crossed the state line in Kentucky and saw some sights in Kentucky, went to all the way to Chattanooga, and eventually crossed the line from Chattanooga into Georgia. And it was amazing to see this couple being so moved by seeing new places. In fact, the husband, who was about 30 years old, broke down and cried when he crossed his first state line. And I couldn't help but think, as I had prepared this message this week for you, when I saw that commercial a couple of days ago, and you think about how Peter addresses in verse 1 to those chosen living as exiles dispersed. And how for a moment, this couple from Ohio were exiled or sojourned or traveled across state lines from Ohio to places they had never seen before. And once they had seen these things, they realized how much they had missed in their lives. And one of the things I want to speak to you to this morning, to be thinking about, to one of the overarching themes: if you are a believer, a son or daughter in Jesus Christ, if you're a son or daughter in God because of your faith in Christ, You are one of these exiles that Peter is speaking to today. In other words, your primary residence is not North Carolina. It's not Zebulun. It's not Middlesex. It's not Wendell. It's not the greater Raleigh-Durham Research Triangle area. Your primary residence, your citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 3:20. We are all, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, we are all sojourners in this land. We are all exiles in this land. And it doesn't take too long to realize that we are different from this world, hopefully. When we turn on the television, when we listen to the radio, when we go to different stores, and you hear people talking a certain way, and you see people behaving a certain way. And I'm not saying that Christianity is solely based on how you act. But because of the faith of Jesus Christ in you, and His change in you, and you becoming a new creation, hopefully, as I've titled this series, since you have been called to a holy call, you will be called to holy living. Jesus Christ changes you from the inside out. Religion says you change from the outside in by the things you do. But Christianity, Jesus Christ, doesn't just make things a little bit better. Jesus Christ doesn't put a band-aid on us. Jesus Christ brings things that were dead alive. We were all dead in our trespasses and sin. Before Christ came into your lives, the wrath of God sat on your head. But at the cross and His resurrection, Jesus absorbed the wrath when you put your faith in Him. But until you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, until you do that, until you come to a point in your life, a moment in your life, where you realize that you are dead in your trespasses and sin, the wrath of God sits upon you. And I do not say that in a hateful or spiteful way, but I say that in a warning, in a loving way. Jesus Christ brings alive what was once dead. It is only Jesus Christ that does that. No amount of good works can do that. Nothing can do that. In fact, you can separate Christianity from every other thought, worldview, religion in two ways. One, Jesus is God. Every other religion, if they claim that Jesus was a person, does not see Jesus as God. They do not believe that Jesus was God. They might believe that He was created, that He was a good prophet, that He was a good sage, He was a good moral teacher, but He was not God. But Christianity, our word tells us that Jesus is God. And secondly, Christianity is salvation as is a gift. Every religion, worldview, thought, salvation is something that we do, we earn. Salvation, according to the Word of God, is a gift. It's a gift that was received because of what Jesus did for us. The finished work of the cross. I once had a professor in seminary that said, Jesus plus anything is heresy. If you try to add anything to what Jesus did, if we try to add good works to what Jesus did, we are saying that what the work that Jesus did on the cross, the finished work of the cross and His resurrection on the third day was not good enough, that we must add to that. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, there's nothing that we can do or add or take away from the salvation that is Jesus Christ to us. In fact, it is not our salvation. It is His salvation in us. It is His salvation of us. Our salvation is rooted in the work of Jesus Christ, in the person of Jesus Christ, the perfection of Jesus Christ, not what we have done. And so if you can say this morning that I have put my faith, my trust, my belief in what Jesus did for me, not what I did, but in spite of who I am, right? In spite of what I did, in spite of what I continue to do, Jesus lovingly went to the cross and died and was buried, but He rose victoriously on the third day. And if you can say that this morning, then you can say this morning in verse 1 that you are one of the chosen living as exiles. Think about this, the end of verse 2. I love this phrase. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. How awesome is that to think that the grace and peace, not just given to you, not just added unto you, but think about the glorious riches of heaven that Jesus brought to earth to us, can be multiplied to you, poured out on you. And again, once again, not because of what we did, but because of what Christ did for us on our behalf as an obedient Son of God. Hebrews chapter 10 verses 1 through 4 says this: For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true things of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins? But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away the sins of the world. The shadows of the things, the shadows of the Old Testament ritual and sacrificial system were nothing but a shadow. And they pointed to the ultimate finished sacrifice of Jesus Christ that sanctifies us and is sprinkled, we are, by the blood of Jesus Christ, as it says at the end of verse 2. In Exodus 24, it says a new birth. In Exodus 24, it talks about where we have been, the sins of us have been remissed because of us, because of what God was pointing towards in the Exodus. Maybe you remember the Passover lamb that was instituted in Exodus. One of the greatest pictures of the coming Christ, Jesus Christ being the Passover lamb. The blood being poured out on the doorposts and the death angel passing over them. The paschal lamb, the Jesus Christ, as John the Baptist said, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus Christ does this for us. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Jesus has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. In Him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You have been transferred from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of His Son. In other words, your position radically changes when Jesus Christ comes into your life at the moment of salvation. And it's something that is done to you. It's not a trek or a route that you take or that I take that I can attain to, that I can climb up to, that I can ascend to. But it's something that Jesus does in Him and Him alone. Acts 17, verses 24 through 27, it says, The God who made this world and everything in it, this is Paul, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is He served by human hands as though He needed anything. Since He Himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything, He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, so that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward Him and find Him. Yet He is actually not far from each one of us. I say to you this morning, if you have not come to a point where you've invited Christ into your life, if you've not made Jesus your Lord and Savior of your life, in fact, the promise of Scripture is those, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to think about this truth this morning that the Holy Spirit gave to Paul, and Paul wrote down in Acts chapter 17, that the time in which you live right this moment, the very time frame, and the very land that you live in now, God determined that. Think about that. He determined the allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling places. Friends, this morning, you are not a mistake. God was not surprised when you came into this world. You live at this time of the world and in this place of the world. And Paul tells us exactly why in verse 27, said that you should seek God and perhaps feel your way toward Him and find Him. Hebrews 11:6, God is a rewarder of those who seek Him, although He is not very far from any one of us. Praise be to God. He is not far from any one of us. This glorious thing, as it tells us in verse 3, is a new birth into a, into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And it's a new entrance, a living hope. You've been transferred from the domain of darkness and into the kingdom, His Son. And now that you have placed your faith in Christ, your identity is your citizenship, is not where you live on this earth. Although we are citizens of this earth, but we are temporary exiles. So your primary residence. In fact, a song several years ago that came out, they titled the song, Changing Neighborhoods. And talking about when they come to faith in Christ that they're just changing neighborhoods. They are exiles in this land. They've been brought across into a brand new domain and place to live on this earth. It's a blessing, a living hope, and it's a new birth. Brand new birth into a living hope. That reminds us of John chapter 3, when Jesus had the conversation with Nicodemus. Two things He told Nicodemus regarding the kingdom of God. Unless one is born again, there's two things that happen. You cannot see the kingdom of God and you cannot enter the kingdom of God, He told Nicodemus in chapter 3. A lot of times, I had glossed over or forgot about maybe seeing the kingdom of God as far as being born again. A lot of times when we speak of being born again, we think about entering the kingdom of God, right? We become a believer. We become a son or daughter of God. John 1:12, Jesus has given us the right to become children of God. You're not born a child of God. You are born a creation of God, but you don't become a child of God until you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But the second aspect of that, when you become a child of God, you're born again. Not only do you enter the kingdom of God, we just read in Colossians chapter 1, you've been transferred from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of His Son, but you see the kingdom of God. One of the last conversations that Jesus had with Pilate, Pilate was so confused. If you're a king, where's your kingdom? He asked Jesus. And Jesus' reply was, my kingdom is not of this world. Pilate couldn't see the kingdom at work. Pilate could not see the kingdom at hand, because Pilate had not been born again. You, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I encourage you, if you do not recognize the kingdom of God, that you look all around. In fact, right here, at this very place that we are this morning, as the people of Hales Chapel Baptist Church, we are an expression of that kingdom of God this morning. We have entered the kingdom of God, but we have also seen the kingdom of God at work. And I know you see the kingdom of God at work in your homes, in your neighborhoods, in your school, in your workplaces. And I encourage you to continue as the Jesus told us in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May that be our prayer every morning when we wake up, that we would bring the kingdom of God wherever we are, because we are the ambassadors of the King. But this glorious new birth into the hope of resurrection of Jesus Christ is also an imperishable inheritance. If you look there in verses 4 and 5, it says there's an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. In other words, everything in this world perishes. Only those things by God and kept by God continue. Believers in Christ are kept. God's Word never fades. The flowers of the field may fade, but the Word of God will endure forever. The new world that is coming will never fade. In fact, John, in John chapter 3, verse 16, one of the most famous verses ever, Jesus tells Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Friends, everything in this world will perish that is not kept by God Himself. Including us, if we're not in Christ, we will perish. Now, our temporary bodies will perish, but we who we are, we will not perish. There's three aspects to this new hope that Jesus gives us, this inheritance that God gives us. It's imperishable. In other words, it cannot and it will not end, as opposed to the things of this world. It is undefiled. It cannot and it will not be blemished by your sin. In other words, the inheritance that Jesus gives to you at the moment of salvation, we cannot blemish that with our sin. It is kept perfect by the righteousness of Christ. And just as beautifully, it's unfading. The Greek word behind this unfading is amarantos. And it's used only once in the New Testament. And the root word means that it's something that's fading, that's something that is being used up over time. Maybe we think of a battery that's not rechargeable. Even though energizers keep going and going and going, they will be used up at some time or another. And you'll have to go and take that battery out and put a new battery in. Probably one of the things I most loathe of owning a home is changing the batteries in the smoke detectors. Anybody else? I always try to do it at the last possible time that I can. Maybe the worst time for a smoke detector battery to warn you is in the middle of the night. Doesn't it always seem they start chirping in the middle of the night when they start fading away? Maybe the next time you hear a smoke detector start to chirp because the battery is fading and it's reminding you, in a good way, to be safe, right? So that it can warn you. The next time you hear that smoke detector battery fade, or the next time your iPhone gets so low that you need to recharge it or it's going to die, or your computer needs to be plugged back into its power source, let it remind you that is something of this world that fades away. But the inheritance that Jesus gives you will never fade away. You will never have to go back to God and ask for a little bit more salvation. It's once done for all eternity. It is imperishable. It's undefiled. And it's unfading. And that is the promise that's given to you and me and the entire world for those of us who put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. This was accomplished completely by Christ. And lastly, in all these things, this glorious hope in Jesus Christ, this inheritance that He gives us that will never end, that is imperishable, that's unfading. No matter what happens, in light of these truths this morning, no matter what happens, no matter what happens, death, tragedy, a loss of a job, loss of opportunity, maybe for some of you, a loss of a will to live wherever you are this morning. May you think about this. In verse 6 it says, rejoice in this. What is Peter talking about? This blessed hope that is kept in you, that Jesus Christ gives to you, that will never fade away, this inheritance that you have. In thinking about this, there's grace and peace that has been multiplied to you because of Jesus Christ. When you think about this, rejoice in this. And even though now, for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief and various trials, may that result in praise, glory, and honor in Christ. And look at that in verse at the end of verse 8. You rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy because you're receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. In other words, no matter what happens in this life, various trials, sufferings, wherever you may be this morning, maybe it's the loss of a child. Maybe it's the loss of a will to live. Maybe it's a loss of direction in your life. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one as the Morgans experienced so recently this week. No matter what happens, have faith. Even though we have these trials, we can have faith. You might be asking to yourself, how can I still have joy? How can I still have a faith in God when I feel that He has left me or forsaken me during this time? Maybe you've thought that before. How? Because your inheritance is secured by Christ. And His resurrection is given to you. And that resurrection will never lose its power or its efficiency. And it will never end. So as we close this morning, as I close this morning, what is the result? What are the results of this glorious hope, this inheritance that never fades? What is that hope that you have? Your hope is unwavering. Your unwavering hope in a God you have never seen. Your hope to be reunited with loved ones. Your hope that Jesus Christ will, as He promised, never leave you nor forsake you. And that your inheritance, as it tells us in these verses, is kept in heaven for you. At the end of verse 4, kept in heaven for you. The inheritance of Jesus Christ. So as I close this morning, I want to close in a prayerful way at the end of verse 2. I want to make this one of the life verses of my life. I adopted this week as one of the life verses of my life, that may grace and peace be multiplied to you. There are many things in this world that will try to vie for our attention away from the Savior. Many things in this world. May the grace and peace of Jesus Christ be multiplied to you. May Jesus pour out His blessings to you this morning. And as you go in the power of the resurrection of Jesus this morning. Let us pray. Father, may Your grace and peace be multiplied to us this morning. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for this time to gather to worship in Your name. And Father, as we continue in song, may we praise You, Father, for the things You have done for us in Jesus Christ. May we think, as we sing and we pray and we worship, may we think about all the great things You've done for us and how You have always been faithful to us and You will always continue to be faithful to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.